I was so very tempted to come down and preach this from the pulpit, or excuse me, from the floor, because I didn't want to give Satan the satisfaction I was going to be talking about him one more Sunday from the pulpit. But I'll just go ahead and do this here, because this is where the lights are. All right, now listen. Listen to me. We're going to be preaching one more time about the devil. Okay? Let's set aside the distractions. We've got to be wise about our enemy, but we do not focus on him. When we walk out of here, we are not enamored with the devil. Amen? We have the victory, but we've got to understand how he comes. Now listen, here's one thing that winds up happening. And by the way, if you listen to one of the messages on Jim Benny, you'll understand. He'll talk about this a little bit. He has said that when you wind up talking about the devil amongst, you know, like pastors get together or Christians sometimes what they do, the elephant in the room is this, the big question. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? Now, wait a minute. Don't give a yay or nay on that. That, I believe, is a red herring. That is a rabbit trail for the Christian. You want to know what control is? This is what control is. Control is thought. Listen, if Satan can get you to think like he wants you to think, he's got you under control. Now hear me out, folks. Hear me out. This is part of the problem with how people see God. If Satan can get you to see God as some mean ogre, he's got you. You might be born again. But if he can get you to see God as a mean ogre or as some old gray-headed guy that's got nothing to do, you know, he kind of winks at your sin and stuff like that, he's got you. Now, are you hearing me? Now, this is what we've got to understand. The devil cannot come in, now listen, and possess you to take control. In other words, he's got you body, soul, and spirit. But when you understand that there are Christians that have been so taken up by their sin and the fact that they have a wrong view of God, that like one youth pastor was being levitated on a daily basis, a born-again Christian, where Jim Benny was with one family and watched as bruises showed up on the children. We've got an enemy. Are you listening? Now, if anybody walks out of here, and you've just decided to just blow off what I've said, your blood be on your own head. I'm going to give you Scripture. You and I need to take that Scripture and to understand that we've got a drop-dead enemy that wants to destroy us. Now, we're just going to see three things. Then we're going to tell Satan to take a flying leap. Now, we're going to tell him to go jump in a lake, and we know he will be one of these days. No, he's not going to jump in. He's going to be cast in. Let's not, again, get discouraged. Let's not get enamored. But let's get serious. Let's get serious. You see, Paul told the church at Corinth this in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his, what's the word, devices. Now, you go to 1 Peter, and Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. How? In the faith. It doesn't matter what you believe. God is going to be himself. That's one thing that I praise God for. My God is faithful no matter what. No matter what I think. But here's the thing, folks. This is what we've got to watch out for. How are we thinking? Hello? How are we thinking? I get mad. You ever get mad at the devil? I tell you, I get mad in this way. When Satan, in his insidiousness and in his subtlety, deceives people that at one time were warming the chairs on Sunday morning and Sunday night in this auditorium. People that we have led to Christ, that he just plucks away and winds up putting them in Christianity light. I don't like that. This is not a time to play church. Now, some people, well, let me move on. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm serious about this. If you can hear my voice, you can also hear the voice of the Lord and the Word of God. He loves you. He cares for you. And if you're born again, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But there's other things that you need to see. From the two verses that we just read, there's two areas we need to be diligent to recognize. Number one, the devil and his devices. And number two, the devil and his desire to devour you. But we wind up thinking that, well, it's just not all that bad. Ask the Christian that is hooked on drugs, drunker than a skunk. Ask the Christian that is so despondent, they can't trust God anymore, at least that's what they think. Why? Because of our enemy. And because of our yieldedness to him. Okay, I want to give us three things. Write this down. Number one, he comes as a deceiver. He comes as a deceiver. Let's keep this in mind. I'm going to be doing a lot of scripture. I've got them written down here. I've got my Bible. I want you to write these things down. I want you to go to them later on. I want you to see, number one, that when it comes to being a deceiver, Satan has his people in the pulpit. Satan has his people in the pulpit. Take this down. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, hello, did you hear what I said? He's a deceiver. Right, Paul? He's a deceiver. He is slick. Listen, if he can get Adam and Eve in a perfect place known as the garden, he can get you and I in the down and dirty Sacramento, California. He can nail us. Okay? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his, Satan's, ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now look, I'm going to name a couple of names, and you're going to say, wait a minute, it's not right for you to judge. I'm not judging. Take the time. The Word of God judges. All right? But you're not going to get in-depth biblical Christianity from Joel Osteen. You need to get deep into the Word. You're not going to get it from Bob Schuller. Bob Schuller kicked his own son out of the pulpit because his son was doing something so dastardly. You know what his sin was? He was using the Bible too much. Now, I don't build, this pulpit is not built on putting other people down. But I want you to be careful. Don't listen to every voice that comes over the radio. Why? Because you just want our attention? No, I love you. I'm looking out for you. We used to listen. When I was in construction, we used to listen to a radio station in San Francisco. We wouldn't even call it a Christian station. It was known as we called it a religious station. They had all kinds of whacked out people there. One of the guys on Sunday created what was known as the Church of the Holy Donut. He so mocked God's people. By the way, he's in prison right now for child pornography. Now look, we've got to be careful who we listen to. When I was working, before I started working construction, I was working for Lockheed at San Francisco International Airport. I was fueling aircraft. And 6 months of that time, I was working the overnight shift fueling aircraft. I used to start listening to Garner Ted Armstrong after he took over Worldwide Church of God for his dad, Herbert W. And I used to love listening to him on this radio station as I went into SFO because I would argue with him. You know what? There were times I couldn't argue with him fast enough and I'd start breaking into a sweat. Because I can't come up with the verses to counter the lies that he's telling that I know that are lies, but I can't remember book, chapter, and verse. Now, you know, there are people that go to other churches and say, well, you know, I got to be here because of family, you know, stuff like that. And I know what my own standards are and I know what I believe. Satan loves to hear that. He loves to hear that. I want you to understand, Satan has his people in the pulpit. I don't care if it's called a church. Listen, I don't care if it's called a Baptist church. Just because you go to a Baptist church doesn't mean they preach the gospel. There is a church in Oakland that was known as the Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church. I used to listen to that too. The man was an absolute communist, socialist. He was wretched. He did not believe in the Word of God. He was anti so many things which you and I are for. But it was Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church. By the way, I never heard him use the Word of God. Never did. It's a fearful thing to take up the Word of God. I know that it is. This is why we need to have that fear of God. This is why Paul told not only pastors, but really all of us, when he talked to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You know why, Tim? Because you need to know the Word. I mean, we really need to know the Word. Right, Edgar? This is why we've got to get into it and study it. Because the devil is slick. Do you know he even knows God's Word? In fact, listen, he knows God's Word better than you do. Better than I do. He tried God's Word in Matthew 4 against Christ Himself. Hello? Aren't you glad God knew the Word of God? But you know what? We don't know it like that. That's why a Jehovah's Witness can come to your door and stand there in full confidence and say, we know what the Bible teaches, we'll help you learn. That's why a Mormon can do the same thing. Listen, there's two religions in the world. The religion of do and the religion of done. The religion of do says you've got to do something to please God or the gods. And you've got to figure out who that God is. My God, number one, is still not up on a cross. He died, He rose again, He sits on the right hand of the throne of heaven, of God the Father. That's my God. My God is not Satan's half-brother, as the Mormon calls him. My God is not a tiny God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say. My God is the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the religion of done. Listen, the Bible doesn't teach Jesus paid it half to Him I owe. It's Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. I love that. Why? Because I can't save myself. By the way, you can't either. That's why 2 weeks from today is so important. This is why we've got to get this out. Not only does He have His people in the pulpit, listen, He's got His people in the pew. Ah, now you're picking on us. No, wait a minute. Listen to what Paul said to the church again at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 11:26. He's talking about what he had gone through. He said, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now look. I am not trying to make you look at the person next to you and go, now, there's a few people in here, if you were sitting next to them, I wouldn't blame it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you remember that when Israel came out of Egypt, it says that there were some strangers that came with them. And these are the people that helped Israel fall later on. Now, I praise God for everybody that comes. I want them to hear the gospel. But just because somebody comes into a Bible-preaching church and sits down and is listening doesn't mean that they have the truth in their heart. This is why we need to encourage each other. This is one of the reasons why I almost felt like, you know, just preaching down here. You know, we've got folks here, I know for a fact, we've got folks here right now that are having a tough time. I'm having a tough time. We've got people here right now that are really discouraged. You know what you ought to take the time for when we dismiss? You ought to shake a few hands. You ought to let people know that you love them. Am I right? I'm right. You know, this is one of those things. We find it being so tough. We find it so hard. People, there are people right now that are as close to hell as they ever want to be. I've been there and done that. You know? This is why we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. This is why we need to, oh my soul, encourage each other. And just even with a handshake and stuff and say, you know what, I'm praying for you. By the way, I'm praying for you. You know that? This is why the Scripture tells us to love each other with a pure heart fervently. I love watching people grow. I love watching people get a grasp on the Word of God. Even little kids, it was so funny. I know he's my own grandson. But Roger, I don't know if you noticed it while you were leading singing. Kevin was here and he was practicing leading singing. You know, and then of course, you know, I preach here and there's people, you know, you practice preaching. That's okay. That's all right. Every once in a while, just say amen. You know what you do when you say amen? You can kill the preacher. If you want to get rid of a preacher, just say amen. Glory to God, preach it! Yeah, because he'll preach and then fall over dead. This is our defense. When it comes to his deceitfulness, this is our defense. We need to learn the Word of God to battle the deceit of the wicked one. We need to live in and thrive in the righteousness of God our Savior, which we learn in the Word. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We were talking about being in the local church. Let's go there. Okay? Now here we go. This is what you need to do. Let's just pick Paul up in mid-thought. In Ephesians 4, look at verse 25. We're picking him up in mid-thought, but we're going to get the understanding here. This is why we get into the Word of God, to know the Word of God. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. If you're in the body of Christ, guess what? You're looking at your company. You're looking at part of what you're in. That's important. So let's speak truth. Truth. Not, well, this is what I think, but, you know, praise God, this is what God says. Look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give. What does it say? Place to who? You see, that's why we do this. You know what the word place means? It's the Greek word topos. You know what English word we get from that? Topography. Ground. You don't want to give the devil ground. And you know how you do it? Being angry. Getting bitter. Not forgiving. And therefore letting the love grow cold. That's what happens. And next thing you know, if we are a part of the religion of done, and our God has given us the victory, why do we feel that we've got to quit and give up? Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. So the person that borrowed the ladder from the church, would you please bring it back by the end of the week? I'm just kidding. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are you glad you're forgiven?
Amen.
I would hate to get up to heaven and all of a sudden hear God say, Mike! That'd terrify me. According to my Bible, according to God's Word, that's not what I'm going to hear. I'm not going to hear an angry voice. I praise God for that. Listen, not only in this, in our commands, and by the way, this is in everything, in the home, in the church, in everything, in our singing. Ephesians 5:8, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Take out your hymn book. We did something. I'm going to try something nuts. If this falls flat, blame the preacher. I'll find somebody else to blame. This is what we did on Wednesday night. Just had a hankering to do this. We sang Acapulco. For those of you who don't know, that's probably a cappella. And we just started singing. Now what we're going to do is we're going to flip through some pages. I want you to go to page 137. Go to 137. I'm going to start us out. We're going to sing just the first verse. And then we're going to flip the next page over and we're just going to keep singing. We're going to sing to each other. Okay? How many of you have what you consider a singing voice? Raise your hand. Okay, sing over the rest of us that just might not. All right, let's start out the first verse and then we're going to go to the next page and then the next page. All right? 137. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of His. When I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, me. Now listen, I'd go on more, but I can't do that because I got to keep preaching. But I want you to understand something. When we get together and we sing about God's love, it's so you can hear it, Coach. We're talking together. We're talking about God's love. We're talking the fact that God loves us so much that He sent His Son. Amen?
Amen.
Now look, we've got a devil. And I called this sermon, Don't Bring Satan to Church. You know what I meant by that? Now listen, while we're getting in the Word of God, some of you, instead of setting your hearts to hear the Word of God, it just it wasn't there, and the devil's right there, and he's going, tell that old guy to just shut up. Don't listen to him. You got your act together. No problem. Listen, don't bring Satan to church. You bring Satan to church and you're going to wind up having a habit of taking him home. You know what Satan does in a home? Let me show you something. You know what Satan does on a job site? You know what Satan does in a ministry anywhere? He's a deceiver, folks. Number two, he's a disputer. Listen to this, Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, For the accuser of the brethren, our brethren I should say, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know what Satan's focus is on you? All of you. He wants to nail your conscience. If you're born again by the blood of the Lamb, he wants to get you with guilt. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But listen, you know that devil that you brought in with you this morning? He'll punch you and say, don't worry about it. Because later on, this is what he'll do. Oh, he's slick. He'll show you a sin and he'll say, listen, no problem. You can get away with it. No one will ever know. And then as soon as you do, he'll go, what kind of a Christian are you? You think you can get away with that? That's exactly what he does. If he hasn't done that towards you, you got out of the fight a long time ago. He's a disputer, folks. Now listen, when God comes along to the Christian, he wants you to repent and get right with God. Confess and repent of your sin. You know what? Satan doesn't mind if you feel remorse. He doesn't mind if you feel guilty, as long as you don't repent. When it came to King Saul, hey, no problem. Just as long as King Saul doesn't repent. When it came to Judas, hey, he didn't mind, you know, Judas going in, throwing down the 30 pieces of silver and saying, I've sinned against God. Or no, that's not what he said. What did he say? I've sinned against the innocent blood. He didn't mind. Because in just a little bit he was going to have him anyway, because Judas was going to go out and hang himself. Listen, he doesn't mind that. He's going to come in and he's going to get you wrapped up in your sin. This is why. He wants you to be self-centered rather than God-centered. As long as you are feeling guilty, you're under indictment, and you are moving farther and farther from the Lord because you don't feel yourself worthy to come to Him, even though He died for you. True conviction will move you closer to the Lord. We are more self-centered than God-centered concerning our sin. Our problem is we get success-oriented and worry about our victory over sin rather than how our sin affects God, which, by the way, it grieves Him, but He's there to forgive us. And just remember this, please. Our God intercedes for us. This is why we're told in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's so very important. You really can have your sin forgiven. Now, we say, well, how's God going to react? Is He going to attack me? You remember when Abraham sinned and went down into Egypt? He pointed out Abraham's sin, but he didn't attack him. In fact, he defended him. He defended him and his wife. Our God doesn't do that. He wants you back. Please, absolutely, hear that. Lastly, He comes as a destroyer. In Revelation 9:11, there's an interesting description given of the devil. Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means destruction. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, destroyer. Listen, Satan wants your mind. He can't have your soul if you're born again. But he wants to get the way you think. If he can't have that, he will go after your body. By the way, never forget, he can't do anything that God won't allow him to do. He can't do that. These are tests that are given to us. They are to make us grow. Why does He want our bodies? Why did He want, for instance, to attack Job, to attack his body? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" I like my truck. I like my truck. It's a good truck. Got a lot of miles on it. Good truck. You know what I like it most of all about it? It's got a pink slip with my name on it. I like that for that. You know who owns your pink slip? It's not you. God owns you. Soul, spirit, body. And we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our God. Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I want to take care of this body. Bodies are funny things. You know what I've discovered? When you get older, bodies get pains in funny places. Some people, it's just other reasons why they get pains in funny places. But we're not talking about getting older. We're talking about getting attacked. This is why we think on these things, though. Romans 6:12, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body." Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." This is why Satan wants it. This is why we can take care of it. Sometimes God allows suffering to discipline us. This is why He said in Hebrews 12:5, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint without rebuke of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Sometimes that takes place through the body. Never let that kind of thing go to waste. "Lord, are you working on me? If so, be it so, Lord. Help me grow." Satan wants you to be impatient for God's will, no matter what He puts you through. Now, what I just said was important there. Be it your body, what it's going through, or be it a situation that you're going through, Satan wants you to be impatient. In James 5:11, James said this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job suffered a lot. It just wasn't his body. He lost everything, and his wife told him to curse God and die. But he endured. And what happened? God was glorified. Now look, we're here together. We encourage each other, love each other, say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." But out there, there are people that need that, but also they're going to make fun of what you've got. Hey, you know what? When you get sick, when you wind up going through difficulty, you can endure. If Job can do it, you can do it. Not because Job had something that you had any different other than this, the God of heaven. And He could say, "You know what? He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What's our defense? And I'm almost done. The grace of God. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. This is a great place to learn, to be encouraged. I hate the devil. I'm so glad I'm not going to be preaching about him. Oh, we'll mention him every once in a while, but we're going to be lifting up our Lord and Savior. But I also hate the sin of this world. The sin I hate the most is my own sin. There are times that God allows something to come in, be it a physical ailment, a situation we might be dealing with that doesn't seem to go away. And it's hard. It gets hard, doesn't it? But wait a minute, though. I mean, don't we have the victory in God, even our faith, the Bible says? Yeah, we do. This is a familiar passage to many. But let's remind ourselves of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Apostle Paul was suffering through something and he said this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," God had shown him so much, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," and he's saying it to you now, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I love that old saying, when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's difficult to remind yourself that your initial objective was to drain the swamp. You know, when you're up to your neck and beyond in tough times, sometimes it gets difficult to remind yourself of the promises of God. But you know what's great? Even if you don't remind yourself of the promises of God, God still keeps them. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our God. By the way, Satan is indeed a deceiver. He's a disputer. And he's a destroyer. But praise God, ultimately, he is defeated. Amen. And that's what we rejoice in. I hope and pray that especially in this time, as we look ahead in 2 weeks to a risen Savior, once again, we remind ourselves that we don't let him get in to deceive us, to wind up bringing a railing accusation on us just to get us down. And we don't let the fact that he's a destroyer terrify us into not serving God. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now look, like I said, we've had some people going through some tough times. I knew when I started this, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I thought, you know, it's going to be interesting. Boy, has it been. Oh, my soul. I've talked to other people. They've said something happens every week. Something's going on every week. Well, that can happen. The tire goes flat. The washing machine breaks down. The relationship starts going south. The headaches come back. There's too much month left at the end of the money. Somebody's phone rings while I'm preaching. You know, stuff like that. Thank you, very good. Tell them I'll call them back. Remember, they're a blessing, right? They're a tool, sometimes a toy. But the point is this, we can get together and we can look at each other in the eye. Lana, we can look at each other in the eye and we can say, He reigns. And our focus doesn't have to be on the wicked one. It can be on He who reigns. He's the one that builds the church. See, this is one of the joys about getting out on Saturday or whatever time it is, and going out and telling people about the Lord. Because He's such a good God. Amen?
Amen.
So listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to take this and work on us in our hearts. And I want to ask you something. Do you really know that you belong to Christ? Are you really a child of God? If you are, you've got a target on you by the devil. But we have the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked if we take it up. If you don't know the Lord, you can know Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that You would work right now in our lives. Lord, we thank You for everything that You do for us. Lord, we have to know that we've got an enemy. We leave this behind now. We don't want to forget the lessons that we've learned. But Lord, we also want to know this, that You who rose from the dead has given us victory, not only over the grave, but over the wicked one. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that's going through tough times. I pray for each and every person here that's had a major challenge in their life. Maybe it might be something that's chronic. It just keeps going and going. And it's hard. Maybe it's a situation with a relationship. It might be something physical. Lord, we might wind up paying for something that we did in the past, whatever it is. But Lord, I pray that You'd be with those that are going through those times. Help them to know Your presence. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking about, let me ask you,